We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
For now, I think, like you, I'll probably from time to time get a glimpse of something on Instagram, but unless there's a Twitter report from Wet Butt 23, I'll probably just stay quiet on it. Took a great deal of self-control not to say the other one.
An exercise in self-control from Rick Hahn, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox. Yeah, the other one is Katy Perry's name and a
can't say that
body part.
Body. But Wet Butt 23 is always funny. I'm just saying it out loud, it's funny. Wet Butt 23.
It sounds like a play call or an audible, right?
What is wet? I don't even know what you mean, wet butt. What does that even mean? Go stand over
there!
It
means he goes under center.
Go stand over there!
Right, something like that. Right, it means it's a hot day and you're not out of the shotgun. Wet butt 23!
Oh, I don't want to run that again.
Black 57,
stop.
Razor!
God, right. Change your pants. This is too much.
Yeah, looking forward to having a conversation with Chuck Garfine about the White Sox in just a bit. And they're... The feeling in White Sox camp is one of bland, generalized positivity and hope, but knowing that it could immediately be turbocharged with one phone call, with one text, with one decision makes everything feel attenuated.
I think what's tough to determine is our mood about the White Sox and then the White Sox mood. Because we've talked about this a little bit in terms of what if they signed Manny Machado. They get Manny Machado, and that doesn't change the fact that Lucas Giolito has to have a bounce-back year. And forget bounce-back. I mean, you just call it a get-there year, you know? It doesn't change the fact that Carlos Rodon has to stay healthy and throw 180 innings. It doesn't change the fact that Yoan Moncada has to hit instead of doing the other thing, the not hitting. There are two moods available for you depending on who you are in White Sox camp, and you gotta kind of be there to understand the difference between one and the other.
This guy's there. Chuck Garfine is on Twitter at Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago Sox reporter, and he's with us now on Sports Radio 670. What's happening, Chuck?
Not much, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. Wonder if you could help me with something. Has Yolmer Sanchez acquired his new bump box? Or was the bump box that was going around on Twitter yesterday his old bump box waiting for the new one?
Wow, that's the first question.
Yes, well, we were pretty in tune on that one.
Okay, that's the same bump box as last year. Oh. Last year, Omar Narvaez had one and Yolmer had one. Now that Omar is in Seattle, there's only one bump box and it belongs to Yolmer Sanchez. So there's the breaking news, I think.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Appreciate it. What is a neurofeedback program, and why was that so important for Lucas Giolito this offseason?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. Lucas Giolito has talked about the neurofeedback program that he was involved in this last offseason, and he's citing it as kind of a big thing for him as he tries to announce himself. What is it?
You know, he was talking about that with reporters today, and I was talking with someone else, so I did not get into the specifics of what he was referring to, but I think he was just trying to do everything that he can to turn his career around. I mean, this was a rough season for him, so he's tried to improve his physical core, and the line that he said today is like, you know, I'm sick of losing, and it's been a rough go for him, not only here and last season, but with the Nationals. And you know, he was the number one prospect, and he had all that hype. And in a way, he's kind of been through the ringer. And I think he looked into this offseason as, like, I'm going to do everything I can to make myself right, to make this my career right. So if it's, you know, doing stuff, whatever kind of technology is out there, I think he went seeking it and even, like, had some conversations with Alex Rodriguez. So I think that's where he's at right now. He wants to prove not only to baseball, but to himself, that he can be that pitcher that many people thought he could and should be when he got to, you know, reach the major leagues.
I remain very curious about how Yoan Moncada can approach not just this season, but this spring training. If we know that as he is a marvelous judge of the strike zone and maybe even to a fault, that they want him to be a bit more aggressive and attack hittable pitches, how do you do that? What's the best way to practice? What's the best way for him to work on being the hitter everybody thinks he can be? Because if we're really looking at the difference between untapped value and possibility here, what can actually deliver, that guy is waiting to explode. I mean, that's a guy who once he starts hitting the ball and he can clean up the concentration issues in the field, he can project to be a four-win player for you. How does he do it?
I think one is to acknowledge your strengths and your weaknesses and doing something about it, the weaknesses. And I think they gave him a lot of rope last year just because, you know, he had to rebuild. This is the start of his career. And they wanted to, like, for him to start figuring things out for himself to a point. And then it got to be, okay, well, you need to make some adjustments here because the league had made an adjustment on him. Because if you look at what happened in April of last year, I mean, he had a great OBP, a great slugging percentage, and then, you know, the league adjusted to him, and he just kept swinging at a lot of these bad pitches, and he needed to learn to lay off of it. He also just needs the at-bats. He needs the experience. So he, you know, went to the coaching staff at the end of the year and told them that he wanted to, you know, fix this, and what could he do about it? And, you know, without getting into the intricacies of what he's working on, because I don't know for a fact exactly what he's doing, but I know he is trying to fix it. He's not here in camp yet, but he did show up here on his own in October. Was it November? November, to work with guys here. And so I'm optimistic on him. If he's a stock, I'm buying it. Where is he? You know, what's he going to do next year? I don't know. But when he makes contact, I mean, you saw what he would do. Doubles, triples, homers, and there are very few second basemen in the league who would have as many extra base hits as he does. He needs to cut down on his strikeouts, no doubt. You cannot survive in this game striking out 200 times. You get that down to 150 to start, and then I think, listen, I'm not making excuses up for the guy, but he had a lot of bad calls, and I think that might have gotten in his head and maybe affected his instincts that he knows what are strikes or believes what are strikes and what are balls. And I think the umpires may have messed with some of that. But, you know, it is a riddle. It is a mystery about what he'll do this season. I think he will improve, and I'm curious to see how it all unfolds.
Chuck, when we're told that Eloy Jimenez is going to have to work on his defense for about 2.5 weeks in AAA, what will be the things he actually works? Like, are there defensive questions about his game, or is this just going to be a 2.5 weeks where he comes up and everybody's fine with it and we move on?
Yeah, I mean, so to answer the defensive part of it, you know, that is clearly behind the offensive part of it. But is it something that, you know, should keep him in the minors? Is he going to learn something in 2 weeks, say, that's going to, like, okay, now he's ready? Probably not.
No.
You know, but he does have a good arm. His outfield instincts, I've been told, aren't, you know, superior, but certainly good enough to play Major League Baseball in the outfield for sure. But then the whole thing about, you know, service time, you know, it's tough to answer that one because it hasn't been decided yet what he's going to do. Rick Hahn spoke here yesterday and, you know, did not close the door on him breaking camp on opening day. But if it is true that he starts in the minor leagues, then it's the same answer as, you know, what went with Chris Bryant and so many before him, that's just the way, that's the rules that there have been set forth in the White Sox. In that scenario, if it happens that way, we'll just be playing into that. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that's the wrong, that's a whole other conversation to say he should be here opening day because he's ready. He should have been on the team last year, but there's a business side to it. It's not just baseball. It's not just a sport. There's a business aspect to it, and if that's what this White Sox decide to do, then, you know, they've got the ability to do it.
You noticing anything different from Ricky Renteria, who's comfortable in his position? He seems as solid as Ricky Renteria can be in a managerial job. But every spring training, it's the manager at the beginning that gives you that indication of tone, of expectation, of what this one's going to be like.
The tone has changed a little bit, and the words are starting to change with Renteria, because he's like, it's now time to start winning more. You know, I don't think he wanted to put the, you know, he always wanted to make his team prepared every day to win. But they, let's be honest, they were undermanned on most days, most nights, the last couple of seasons, because it was a rebuild, and that's what a rebuild, in essence, what happens in a rebuild. But, you know, he said yesterday, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but he basically said, look, it's in a way, it's go time. We have expectations, and it's time now to meet some of these expectations for a lot of these individual players. We want to take a step here in 2019. What kind of step that's going to be, I don't know, but the rope that a lot of these guys have had last year, the year before, they're not going to have as much of it. And one thing that he mentioned was, we now have competition at spots. You know, there were guys who were very secure in their jobs and their positions out there in the outfield or the infield because there was no one behind them. Now there are guys behind them. And if they don't produce, there's someone in AAA or even AA who's going to be knocking on the door. So I think that's what I've seen is different in terms of the words and the tone, that this team is getting closer to winning and having expectations to win.
Chuck, appreciate it as always. Enjoy all of the Nick Madrigal batting practice you can while you're down there.
Oh, it's fun. I like it.
See you, Chuck.
Chuck Garfine of NBC Sports Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.